You guys, what a great church that we have. I don't know if you guys are able to be a part of that, but it was absolutely amazing. I was with my family up in Alexandria, and I kept on getting text messages and praise reports about different things that were happening, and it was absolutely amazing. We as a church have the opportunity to do great things, don't we? Don't we? And I thank Miss Sean for her heart going out there, approaching people who no one else approaches, and making this. How many people did we serve? 64 homes. That 64 homes, 180 by 180 people that we served that would have went through Christmas without hearing from anybody. And it wasn't just our church. We had churches all across this area that got together and put these things together, and it was absolutely amazing. And just because you don't necessarily see the seed planted and grow a harvest immediately doesn't mean that it wasn't planted on fertile soil. I guarantee that those people received something amazing, more than just something physical, but I believe that they received something spiritual that day. People that got prayed for that's never been prayed for before, received Jesus Christ for the very first time. Absolutely amazing that we have the opportunity to do stuff like that. Man, it's so awesome. Let's give Miss Sean a hand clap and everyone that was a part of it. It was so good. Guys, I am so glad that you guys decided to come to church today. I'll be honest, I didn't know that people came to church between Christmas and New Year's. So thank you all for coming. I appreciate it. I hope everybody had an amazing Christmas, an amazing time with their friends and their family. My name is Pastor Tom. I am not Pastor Todd. He is with his family in Arizona, visiting his in-laws and traveling through the Grand Canyon, and all he listed everything that he's doing. It's all absolutely amazing things, and it's great. He's going to have a fun time. That's like his niche in life. Like, he loves being outdoors and like doing things. I don't know how Miss Lisa's faring out there. I guarantee you she's probably tougher than he is anyway, so she's probably doing a great job. But we're very thankful for our pastor, and we're very thankful that we get to give him some time off too to be with his family. And they're at the Grand Canyon. All I can picture is like Eric Schumacher, and you all know Eric. Like, that little, all I can just... boom, like right off of it. Let's like, bah! And not saying that they don't watch their children, but I'm just saying, like, I'm glad that Miss Debbie's going to be there. She can hold them and be like, don't go anywhere. But I'm so glad that we get the opportunity to give our pastor some time off. And I'm glad to be here, too. Is that Miss Tony? Hey, Tony, how you doing? I know I got to say hi to her. I see her. But so glad that you guys came. Hope you guys had a good Christmas. How many of y'all got some good Christmas gifts? Anyone get good Christmas gifts? Good Christmas. I'm talking really good. Ben, you got a good Christmas gift? What'd you get? A North Face jacket. That's a good Christmas gift. I like those kind of gifts. I hope everyone got some good gifts. How many people got some not so good gifts this year? Like some really... nobody got bad gifts this year? Everyone good gifts. One honest person. Dale, you got a bad gift this year? What'd you get? You got to return it. Is it from your wife? It doesn't fit, doesn't it? She believes you're a medium, buddy. She believes you're a medium, okay? In her heart, you're a medium. You return Tanya's too? You return mine? God, I didn't even know. Why are you going to tell me on the platform? Oh, gosh, the spirit's gone. I spent a lot of time looking for that jacket that was right in the window of Dick's. I'm glad you returned it, babe, and got what you wanted. That's all that matters. Here's a little thing that, look, ladies, if you guys want to give good gifts, gifts that will not be returned, this is what you should give. Stop giving little boys underwear. Stop giving it. Every year for my stocking stuffer, I got underwear. Guess what I didn't want? Underwear. We want to be free. We don't want underwear. Stop giving men ties. Ladies, men don't want ties. They want to be free. They don't want to have ties. Men, want to give good gifts? Stop giving your woman stuff from Victoria's Secret. Because that gift is not for her. And we all know your game. Y'all are selfish. Selfish people. But everyone loves to get good gifts. Everyone loves to give the gifts that they can keep. Apparently, I did not do that. And they can cherish forever. And over the past few weeks, some people celebrate Christmas. How many of y'all out there are Christmas for, like, since July? You guys love Christmas as soon as, like, it gets, we got one Christmas in July, we got another Christmas since July. Good. A lot of times, people celebrate Christmas for a really long time. I don't. My wife, right after Thanksgiving, we do our Christmas thing, and, like, the day after Christmas, she said, we're taking it all down. Like, yesterday, like I postponed. I'm like, baby, I want to look at it a little bit longer, which is my way of saying I want to be lazy and not do anything today. I didn't want to look at it any longer. Actually, I was tired of looking at it, but I definitely was not going to put it up in the attic. Well, yesterday we did all this stuff. We tore it all down and put it up in the attic. I'm completely out of shape, by the way. We put, like, I didn't know Christmas trees could be put in bags, but you can put the whole Christmas tree in a bag and just carry it and put it in the attic. Well, that is what they're supposed to do. When you're only this tall and the tree is that tall, when you pick it up, it just drags on both ends. And you're just like, you're basically, I'm like trying to get it up this attic. And my wife was like, I don't know if this is the most effective way to do this. You're right. This is not the most effective, but you're not helping. So this is the only way it's going to get done. Do you see me doing this? And don't complain next year when you go up there and it's all just thrown everywhere. It's not, though. It's nice and organized, just the way you wanted me to do it. But some people celebrate Christmas for a long time, and some people don't celebrate for very long. You know, actually, there's a lot of debate out there among Christian people. They debate on whether or not they should celebrate Christmas or not celebrate Christmas, whether we should or whether we shouldn't. And if you do celebrate it, how you should celebrate it and stuff like that. And there's a debate, and there's good points to both sides of every story, and it's all great and stuff like that. And I think it's going to be a debate that happens a lot longer than you and I will probably be alive. Personally, I think it's important to celebrate Christmas. It's not about the presents. You're right. Christmas is not about the presents. It's not about the gifts. But it is about one gift. It is about one gift. And I think if we stop celebrating the gift that God gave to us in Jesus Christ, then we lose something precious and we lose hope. Sure, you might not do the glitz and the glamour. You might not do all the lights. You might not do everything that everyone else does. But I think as Christians, if as soon as we forget or stop celebrating the gift that Jesus Christ, then we lose something precious and we lose hope in this world. So I think personally that it is important that we celebrate Christmas, if for anything else, to celebrate the gift that God gave to us. And that's what we're going to talk about. I want to talk about re-gifting. How many of y'all have ever re-gifted anything? Yeah, some people are laughing. Apparently, they're re-gifting things that are absolutely horrible. Y'all ever play the white elephant game? And you always get, like, people's presents that they didn't like? And you get the one person that opens up and like, oh my gosh, I always wanted one of these. And you're like, what the heck? Thank God. I know they made it for somebody. It was for you. Pastor Todd got one of those gifts he shared with us, one of those portable bidet thingies that he got. Hey, that sounds good. I'll take it. And the thing that bothers me the most about that is there's not a heater involved with it. No one wants that cold water. If there's a heater, top seller, guarantee you. Guarantee it. But I want to talk about re-gifting. I want to talk about re-gifting. Not re-gifting the way that we're talking about as far as presents and stuff, but I want to talk about re-gifting the gift that God has given us. But before I get started, I want to pray. Father God, I just thank you for today. Lord, thank you for worship service. Thank you for Charity and Melody being with child, and getting up here and being obedient. Man, she preached the message for me. She was so good. Lord, thank you for the church that we get to come to and celebrate you. Thank you for everything that you've done for us this year. Lord, I just ask that right now that as I get up here to minister your word, that you just minister through me by the Holy Spirit, that nothing that I say, Father God, is outside of what you want me to say. Lord, that deliver the word that's in season, that's right, that's what you want. Lord, bring peace in this place. Bring peace in this place. And Lord, if I could just ask one thing, and I don't really pray for this very often, but if the Packers could win today. I know that I don't pray that very often, but if you want to spare Aaron Rodgers too, you can do that. In Jesus' name, I pray, amen. Packers play Lions today, guys. It's very important that they lose. They win. The Lions lose. Sorry about your Saints. They are going somewhere, just not this year. And I'm very thankful that God is a Patriots fan, because that's all that matters. Anyway, re-gifting. I said nothing that I was going to say. I'll be spiritual things, God. Thanks. Thanks for letting that slip. Anyway, moving on. Re-gifting. The gift that God has given us on Christmas. Everyone knows about it. Look, we've been celebrating it for a really long time. This whole Christmas season, we've been celebrating the gift that God has given us. And what is that gift exactly? If I don't stick to my notes, we can get really long, so I'm gonna stick right here. The gift that God has given us to Jesus Christ, but it's the gift that keeps on giving. Jesus isn't the only, his birth isn't the only thing that we receive. We receive so much more when we receive Jesus Christ. But there's only one way that we can get that gift. And I want to be very, very, very poignant about this point. You might hear a lot of different opinions on how you can receive Jesus Christ. You might have a lot of different opinions on how you can get into heaven and how you can know God. There might be a lot of different opinions that you might be, you know, keen to listen to. But it says in the Bible, and I believe the Bible to be true. It's important that the Bible is true. Guess what? The Bible is true whether you believe it or not. Whether you think the Bible is not true, it's still true. Whether you believe that God's God, he's still God, doesn't matter. The way that you think and feel about it doesn't really matter. And it says in the Bible, which is true, Jesus says that I am the way, the truth, and the life, that no one comes to the Father but through me. So there's only one way that we receive this gift. One way that we can receive this gift, and that is through Jesus Christ, the very gift that we're given. And when we get this gift, it's an amazing gift, and it changes our lives. It's not the easiest gift to receive. It's not the most understandable gift sometimes. And sometimes, and most of the times actually, it's not the most predictable gift you've ever gotten. But I guarantee you that it's the most rewarding gift you're ever going to receive. The most rewarding gift that you're ever going to receive. You see, when you trust and believe and live in God through Jesus Christ, we get some really cool things. We become sons of God, according to 1 John. We become friends of God and bond servants through Christ. We step from a world of the natural into the world of the supernatural. When you receive this gift, you go into the supernatural possibilities. Things that were once impossible to you now become possible because all things are possible with God. Good thing I got one amen from that, because that's a good thing. All of a sudden, your world changes from things that you can understand to things you can't understand, but it doesn't matter because the things that you can't understand, God's going to handle. God's going to handle it. And when you receive this gift of Jesus Christ, it changes your life and you become supernatural. The world that was once feasible becomes the world of the impossible. But they all become possible things through Christ. We step from a world that is dying, decaying, sick, miserable, and hopeless, and we enter a world of life, healing, recovery, joy, and hope. Our life in Christ is awesome. Our life in Christ is amazing. Our life in Christ is astounding, but our life in Christ is a gift. And you see, the gift that we receive, it's for you, but doesn't stop there because it's not just for you. The gift that we receive of Jesus Christ is not for you and a few, but it's for everybody. It's for everybody. Our obligation is to re-gift this gift, to re-gift the gift of Jesus Christ. You know, I don't know how you got saved, but I guarantee you it's a lot probably like how I got saved. You got saved because somebody shared the gospel of Jesus Christ with you. I don't think that there's many people out there that were like Saul, who was on a donkey walking down a road, got blinded by God, and heavens opened up, and all of a sudden, like, salvation came to him. There might be one or two of you out there. But most of us, if not all of us, have received the gift of Jesus, the salvation gift, the gift that is this awesome life, the super, we received it. Because somebody shared it with us. Because somebody proclaimed the gospel to you and to me. And I'm afraid, and this is my thing, as I go into next year, in 2015, we make New Year's, you know, resolutions, and we're like, you know, this is what I'm going to do. And I don't ever make them because I never keep them. But this year, I've really been pressed in my heart to make one. And, you know, I think I do a lot of things right. This is just me being humble. I think I do a lot of things right. You know, I think my attitude's right most of the time. Don't talk to my wife. She'll tell you different. She's a liar. It's okay. There's forgiveness for her. I think my attitude's okay. I think my actions are good. I think if you were to follow me on a daily basis, as long as you don't get in the backseat of my car, you say, this guy's a Christian. Because, oh, Jesus didn't have to drive. Because if he did, I don't know. Anyway. But I think if you looked at me, it would be my actions, my attitude, they're okay. But I think that I lack something in my life. I don't think I tell enough people about Jesus Christ. I don't think I re-gift this gift that was given to me enough in my life. You know, as a pastor, you're like, oh, Pastor Tom, if he's not telling anybody, ain't nobody telling nobody. As a pastor, I see you on Sunday and in church, and I think that I'm more, you know, I'm probably going to tell you about God here and Jesus here because you're in church, and I think that you want it. But when I'm out in the everyday world, I think, you know, these people don't have time to hear me talk about Jesus Christ. And I think if I go through my life, I've come back on this re-gifting of this gift. This proclamation, because you know what it says in the Bible? It says, go into all the world. It says in many parts of the New Testament that we are to spread the gospel of Jesus, that we are to re-gift this gift of Jesus Christ. Look, people are going to get saved because you tell them about Jesus Christ. And I think that's where I lack. And so I want in 2015 to re-gift this gift more. I want to tell more people about Jesus Christ. I want to spread this gospel the way that I'm supposed to spread this gospel. And guess what? It's not just me. It's what we're all supposed to do. Everyone who calls themselves a Christian is supposed to be spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. But it's so hard sometimes. Man, it's a fast-paced world. And people you think just don't have time to listen to you. And so again, I got all these things. I went to God and I said, God, I want to be better at sharing the gospel with people in the world. And then I laid out like all these excuses of why people don't listen to me or why I don't do it and all these different things. And I've made people know that God doesn't really care about that part of the prayer. Like he turns on iTunes at that point. He's like, okay, Katy Perry, go. Just kidding, not Katy Perry. That's just here. I think that when I bring those things to God, he gave me an answer. And so I want to share with you the answer that he gave to me. And it's in a parable. It's in a parable. It's a parable that we've heard many, 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 many times. And you've probably taught on it if you've ever had the opportunity to. You may have preached on it, but you've definitely read it and you've probably heard it. And so I want to read it. It's in Luke 8, 4 through 8. Well, a large crowd, is it up there? Oh, we're so cool. I like our Christmas background. It's really awesome. Well, a large crowd gathered, and the people were coming to Jesus from town after town. He told this parable. A farmer went out to sow his seed, and as he scattered the seed, some fell on a path, and it was trampled on, and the birds ate it up. Some fell on rocky ground, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Other seeds fell among thorns, which grew up with it and choked out the plants. Still others fell in good soil. It came up and yielded crop 100 times what was sown. And many of us have heard that several times. How many of y'all have ever heard that parable before? Good, I think. And I think that every time I've heard it, and we know what the parable is about. It's about the different types of heart, right? The different types of heart of man and the seed and how the seed's the what? The word, the gospel, and how it reacts to different parts of man. And I think that's what the focus has always been on. When I heard it been preached, or when I've preached on it, or when I've you read it, you know, I always just think about the different types of hearts, the hearts of man. But I realized something, that God showed me something, and it's really cool. That the only thing that I need to worry about in this whole thing is like the first part or the first half of the first sentence. Everything I need to know to be a good minister of God's word is in the like first half of the first sentence. And that's what we're going to focus on. We'll be out quickly. Don't worry. You guys can go back and do your thing. We're going to focus on this part of it. A farmer went out to sow his seed as he scattered the seed. That's all we're going to focus on. A farmer went out to sow his seed as he was scattering his seed. That's all we're going to focus on, because everything you need to be a good minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ, a good person out there proclaiming Jesus Christ to people, the thing that we're supposed to be doing is in there. The very first thing that we need to know is we must know that we must be the farmer. We must be the farmer. We have to know who we are. We are the ones that have this gift. We're the ones that possess this gift. You as Christians. Raise your hand if you are a Christian in this house. Okay, my wife. Oh, your hand's up. Good. You don't want to be unequally yoked. We are all Christians. And guess what? We have this gift given to us. We possess this gift. We are this farmer. It is our job to be the farmer. It's not Pastor Tom's job only. It's not evangelist. It is every person who is saved under the blood of Jesus Christ, reconciled through Jesus Christ. It is our job to be this farmer. We have this seed. You have this seed. It is in you. Everyone's called to be the farmer. If you receive the gift that you're called to be the farmer. And you might say, I don't know what to do for the kingdom of God. Guess what? I'm going to hear to tell you right now, you are the farmer. You're the farmer. You've been given the seed. You are the farmer. So it says a farmer went out. The first thing is we must know that we are a farmer. The second thing is we must go out. You must know that you are purposed. You must know that you can't stay inside that house, calling yourself a farmer, and actually be a farmer. If a farmer sat inside all day and said, I'm a farmer, I'm a farmer, I'm a farmer, I'm a farmer. Look at me, I'm a farmer. Visit my website, imafarmer.com. Until he goes out of his house, he's not a farmer. Look, guys, you might want to call yourself whatever you want to call yourself all day long. But sitting in church every day, every Sunday, every Wednesday, and calling yourself a Christian doesn't necessarily just make you a Christian. You got to go out. You got to go out. We got to go out, guys. You want to deliver the word of God. You want to be the best Christian. You want to re-gift this gift that God has given you. You have to know that you're the farmer, and you got to go out. We got to stop being the church that stays within these walls. Look, we're not. Look, you saw it. Do you see what happened? We're one of how many churches in this town? Like 180 or something? Imagine if all of them went out and did something. Go. We got to go out, guys. We can't stay inside four walls and say, this is my church, this I am a Christian, and think that we can just do that. We have to go out. We have to do something. So number one, we have to be the farmer. Know who you are. Number two, go out. Know that you're purposed. Number three, it says the farmer went out to sow his seed. We must sow the seed. Know that you are needed. God needs you to plant the seed of the gospel. He has given you the seed to change the world, to change people's lives. It's our job now to spread it everywhere. It's our jobs now to spread it everywhere. It's one thing to be the farmer. It's another thing to get the seed. It's another thing to go out. But look, you have to sow it. Not just hold on to it. We have to sow this seed. We as a church in 2015 need to sow some seed. Look, you can look at our actions and say our actions are good. That's fine. And our attitude is good, and that's fine. But let's be the church that sows the word of God verbally to people. That says, hey, do you know who Jesus Christ is? Let's take this seed. Let's be the farmer. Let's go out there and take the seed out of the bag and throw it at them. And say, hey, have you heard the good news? Look, I've heard the good news. You can look at my life and see that I know the good news, but I want you not to be like me, but to be like Christ. And in order to do that, you got to know him. I'm not saying he's going to make you rich. I'm not saying you're going to be all your problems. He's not a genie in a bottle. But I guarantee you the promises that come along with this are yes and amen. Life might not get easier, but I guarantee you're not going to do it alone. But until we go out as a farmer and sow our seed, people all around us are going to die not knowing about it. And you have the answer in your heart. You heard the answer. You received the answer. Why do we hang on to it? Why do we hang on to it? We got to sow the seed. We got to put it out there. We got to put it out there. The fourth thing we have to do. A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he scattered the seed. We have to scatter the seed, guys. Look, we gotta scatter the seed. It's for everybody. And this is the best part. The farmer scatters the seed. You see, if I was a farmer, do we have any real farmers, like real live farmers? Okay, good. So I can say things that make no sense. He's a farmer. You're a farmer? You're a farmer? Okay, guys, if I say something that doesn't make any sense, pretend I'm a farmer. If I was a farmer and I had seed and that seed represented my profit, man, I'm going to be very meticulous about where I plant it. I'm going to go and I'm going to make my rows. Well, my wife will make my rows nice and straight. Give me a plot. I'm not going to be everywhere. They'd be like, what's over here? Be like, crop circles. That's what we're going to get. I'm going to take the seed. I'm going to make sure that I plant like one seed here and one seed there and one seed here and one seed there and one seed there. I'm going to be OCD farmer because I want to get the best for me, right? Because that's what matters to me. I want the best harvest. But that's not what this guy did, and it's absolutely amazing. This guy went out and he just threw it. He scattered the seed. Scattered it everywhere. And it says that some fell on rocks and some fell on thorns. Some fell on the path. But it wasn't the concern of the farmer where it fell. Look, the farmer, he's a farmer. He knows how to plant seeds. Look, he knew what to do. He would go and he would go boop, 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 and make sure. But no, he knew that his mandate was different, that he was to scatter the seed everywhere. See, we focus on the different types of heart, but you know what? That's not our concern as a farmer. That's not my concern. Your heart isn't my concern. My concern is I have the seed and I gotta throw it out there. Your heart's between you and God. My job, your job in scattering the seed is we just throw it out there. We just throw it out there. Too many times we're so worried that we're going to plant the wrong seed that we plant no seed at all. Too many times we're so worried that the seed's going to fall in the wrong soil that we don't plant any seeds at all. Or we end up putting seeds on fields that already have been seeded. So easy to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with Christians. They got it already, man. They've been planted. Those seeds aren't for those fields. Because the fields that we're called to, there's all types of soil. There's all types of soil. There's rocks and there's paths and there's thorns. But every once in a while, we throw that seed out there. Boom, it's a good day and it hits that good soil. And it grows. And it grows, and that gift that God has given us, we've given to somebody else, and now we've started a cycle because now they're going to give to somebody else, and they're going to give to somebody else, and they're going to give to somebody else, and the very thing that you were hesitant about doing becomes a very movement of God in our lives and in this community. I think we've been Christians that have been, you know, look, I can look on Facebook and see, like, we are negative Christians. It's this versus that. It's Democrat versus Republican. It's black versus white. It's Islam versus Christian. It's all these things and all these reasons why we don't want to put these seeds out there. Oh, man, they're not going to be able to, you know them. They're stupid. They're not going to hear me. What? Go preach the gospel to the Islams? The Islamic people? They're not going to get that. I'm telling you, you're never going to change their lives if someone doesn't take the risk to do it. Let's just focus on being farmers in 2015. I guarantee you 2016 will be full of harvest and crops. You want harvest? You want to look at your life and say, I've done a good job. Look, 2015 has been good in a lot of different ways, but if I look back at the heritage of the people that perhaps maybe I planted that seed in, it's very empty. But when I step into 2016, I guarantee you that my field is going to be full. And I want your field to be full. I want you to look back and say, it was a lot of work, and I didn't know what I was doing half the time, but I was a farmer that went out there, I scattered that seed wherever it would go, and look back and, oh my gosh, look at this life. Not for my glory, but for the glory of God. So this is my challenge to you guys as I dismiss you super early. What kind of legacy can we live, guys? In one year, what can we do as a church body? What seed can we plant? Let's re-gift this gift of Jesus Christ and put it back into the people around us. Even if we don't know what kind of soil they have, let's be faithful farmers and give this seed. Let's plant this seed. Let's spread the gospel of Jesus Christ to a world, because guess what? It needs it. You can turn on the news and you can know that it needs it. And we can sit and we can repost and we can complain about the end of the world and all those different things. And, you know, it does. It looks like hell out there. But it's not too far gone. And I can tell you how I know that. Because I was not too far gone. Because if you looked at my life, the moment that I got saved, you would say, oh, this guy. Ooh, there's no hope for this guy. But some person was obedient to take that seed and plant it in my life, and it changed my life forever. And you can look at the world and the people around you, and you can say, they're not going to get it. They're too far gone. I'm keeping the seed to myself. Or you can take that seed and you can throw it out there, and I guarantee you it hits some good soil every once in a while, and the lives that you change will change this world forever. You guys can all stand. I'm going to pray and then I'm going to dismiss you guys. But before I pray, I want you guys not to forget this message. The prayer partners, you guys can come up and you guys can stand up here. But I don't want you guys to forget this message. Because it's easy to get in your car and go home, and New Year's is coming, and you guys probably have your parties and fireworks and stuff like that. But I'm going to charge the Holy Spirit to do something, to work a little overtime, to keep this message in the forefront of your mind for the whole year. Who you been talking to? What you been saying? Who you been sharing with? Have you planted that seed yet? I can't wait to see what actually happens for next year. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you. Lord, I thank you for this day. Lord, this is the day that you have made. Lord, I thank you for the word that was delivered. God, I ask that you keep it in our heart forever. You let us know that we are not only called to be Christians, but we're called to be farmers, to go out there and spread that seed into other people, no matter where that we go, no matter where we go. And God, a lot of people, then they're sound of my voice, they might say, I'm not worthy to be called a farmer. I'm not worthy to sow that seed. If people look at me, they wouldn't even know that I was a Christian. But Father God, I know that you are the God that redeems, and you are the God that makes things new, that you are the God that shows people the potential that they really have. Work on these people. Work on these farmers so that they go out there and have the confidence to go out and plant the seed, the gift of Jesus Christ into this world. Because, God, we don't want to live and die and say we've done nothing for the kingdom of God. We want to expand and build the kingdom of God daily through our words and through our actions. God, use this body to plant the seeds in this city and in this state and around the world. We're ready for you, God. Thank you for the gift of Jesus Christ. Thank you for giving us this gift that we can give to somebody else. May we not hoard it in anymore, but we give it freely. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Y'all are dismissed. Thank you.